Daf Chav Ches. So the Bresa continues that that day that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was instituted, was appointed as the Nasi, they removed the doorkeeper who was guarding the door to the Beis Medrash, and they allowed everyone to come into the Beis Medrash because Rabbi Gamliel had appointed a guard to make sure that only these worthy people would come into the Beis Medrash. And so we said that that day they added many, many benches for all the Talmidim who came to the Beis Medrash. Rabbi Yochanan quotes some machlokas between the Rabbanon and Abbi Yosef ben Dostai. One says they added 400 benches, and one says they added 700 benches. So upon seeing this, Rabbi Gamliel was worried that maybe he was wrong for withholding so much Torah from everyone. So he was getting really nervous, but then they showed him in a dream that really he was right. But the Gemara testifies that really this is only to put him at ease, and really he wasn't right. But since he was doing it, you know, he thought he was doing the right thing, we tried to calm down. So Bryce continues and says that the entire Maseches Adios was taught that day, which we said was the final halachic decision. And whenever it says Bo Bayom and Shas, meaning whenever it says that day, it's talking about this day that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was instated as the Nasi. And the reason for that is because every halacha that was unresolved was resolved on this day. And there was just so much Torah going on that even Rabbi Gamliel didn't stay away from the Beis Medrash for one day. Because we see that there's a Mishnah that says, Bo Bayom, that day, talking about that day, Yehuda, who was an Ammoni, came and he wanted to convert. And Rabbi Gamliel says, well, we know that Moab and Ammon can't be converts. So, you can't convert. Rabbi Yeshua says, well, no, we know that Sancheirev came and he mixed up all the nations. So, you know, even though this guy comes from Ammon, we have to assume that because the majority of the world is not Ammon, and we know that this guy probably isn't actually an Ammoni, that, you know, we're just going to go by the majority and allow him to convert. Rabbi Gamliel says, well, we have a pasuk that says that all of Ammon is going to be returned to their land. So, you know, this guy's probably an Ammoni. And Rabbi Yeshua says, well, we have a pasuk that says that Hashem is going to return Bnei Israel to their land, and that hasn't happened yet. So, you know, this guy probably hasn't been returned. Ammon probably hasn't been returned to their land either. So they allowed the guy to convert. So Rabbi Gamliel says, you know, I should really go apologize to Rabbi Yeshua. So he went to his house, and he saw that the walls were all black. He says, the fact that your walls are all black shows me that you're a blacksmith. Rabbi Yeshua says, wow, woe to this generation that you're its leader, that you don't even know what the struggle is of making parnasa, because Rabbi Gamliel was very, very wealthy. So Rabbi Gamliel says, anyway, you know, I was really wrong, please forgive me. Yeshua, he wasn't interested. Rabbi Gamliel says, fine, don't do it for me, but at least do it for my father. So Yeshua finally forgave him. He said, fine. So they wanted to go tell the Rebbeim that Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel made up. So they had this guy, this launder who was there, offered to go tell the Rabbanan that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua had made up. So Rabbi Yeshua said, yeah, go tell them that they should reinstate Rabbi Gamliel as the Nasi. And when this launder came to the Beis Medrash, Rabbi Akiva said, lock the doors so that Rabbi Gamliel's servants don't come in and bother us. So Rabbi Yeshua was like, all right, I guess I got to go myself. And he told them to reinstate Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Akiva says, well, we did this all for your honor anyway because he was troubling you. So if you want him back, so we'll reinstate Rabbi Gamliel. But what should we do with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? We can't remove him completely because we know that in Maridim B'Kedusha, we don't lower in Kedusha. We only raise. And we can't have them switch off weeks for lecturing one-one like evenly because then that's just going to create jealousy. So they decide that Rabbi Gamliel would lecture for 3 weeks in a month and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would lecture for 1 week in the month. And that's why we see throughout Shas that sometimes they had to ask whose week it was to lecture, Rabbi Gamliel or Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And we said that the student that started all of this by asking both Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Gamliel for a psak was Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. So we said in the Mishnah that Musaf could be the whole day. You could say it the whole day. Rabbi Yochanan says that if you daven it that late, if you daven it past the 7 hours of Rabbi Yehuda, then you're considered negligent. So we have a braisa that says that Musaf and Mincha, you have to daven both of them. You didn't know which one to daven. The Rabbanan says you should daven Mincha first because it's more frequent, and we know that the one that's more frequent comes first. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you should daven Musaf because the time is going to be passing, so you should daven that one first. Rabbi Yochanan says the halacha is that you daven Mincha and then you daven Musaf. So if Zera became very weak and he wasn't able to continue learning, so he says, at least I'm going to go sit outside the Beis Medrash, and as the Talmidei Chachamim come out, I'm going to stand for them and I'll get schar for standing up for them. So Nasan Bar Tuva came out, and Reb Zera asked, who says that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? Reb Yochanan says, Reb Nasan Bar Tuva said to Reb Zera, Reb Yochanan says that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda in terms of davening Musaf first, that the halacha is that we daven Mincha first. So Reb Zera says, you're sure that was Rabbi Yochanan? And he said, yeah, I'm sure. So Reb Zera studied this 40 times. And Rav Nasan Bar Tuva says, why are you studying it so much? Is this new to you? You never heard this? Or you thought it was in the name of someone else? And Rav Zera says, yeah, I always thought this was Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says that anyone who davens Musaf after 7 hours in the day, Hashem is going to destroy them for delaying the appointed times. So in that pasuk we bring down, how do we know that nogai means is talking about destruction? How do we know that that's what that word means? And Yosef had translated this pasuk as saying that this pasuk about the nogai, that Hashem brings destruction upon Bnei Yisrael for delaying the holidays in Yerushalayim. So Belazar says that if you daven shachris after 4 hours in the day, then Hashem is going to afflict them. And this is using the same pasuk as before. So how are we translating nogai here as affliction? So we bring in a pasuk, and Rav Nachman Yitzchak brings in another pasuk that proves that nogai means affliction. So if Avya became sick and he wasn't able to go to Rav Yosef's lecture, so Abaye wanted to make sure that there were no hard feelings, that Rav Yosef wasn't offended, so he wanted to see why Rav Avaya didn't come to the lecture. So he said, Rav Avaya, why didn't you come to the lecture? Rav Avaya says, well, I was sick. So Abaye said, why didn't you just eat and then maybe you would have felt better? And Rav Avaya said, this is on Shabbos. So Rav Avaya says, well, don't you hold like Rav Huna that you're not allowed to eat before Musaf? And so Abaye says, why didn't you just daven Musaf? And Rav Avaya answered that, don't you hold like Rabbi Yochanan that you can't daven Musaf before the Tzibor davens? And if you're, you know, if you're with them and the Tzibor hasn't yet daven Musaf, you shouldn't daven before them. And Abaye says, well, this is only talking about when you're with the Tzibor, but if you're alone, you should have just daven Musaf on your own. You didn't have to wait for the Tzibor to daven Musaf. We say also that the Lacha is not like Rav Huna that you can't eat before Musaf, and the Lacha is not like Rabbi Yosheb and Levi that you can't eat before davening Mincha. So Mishnah says Rav Nechonia ben Hakana would daven a short tefillah before he entered and after leaving and before leaving the Beis Medrash. So before he went in, he would daven that there should be no mishap that came through him, that came about through him. And when he was ready to leave, he would thank Hashem for his lot. So the Gemara says that the tefillah that one should say before entering the Beis Medrash is about not making any incorrect rulings. And when you're going to leave, you should thank Hashem for allowing you to be Jewish and for allowing you to be able to learn, which is actually what we say in the Siyam now. Sh'anu mashkim v'hem mashkim v'anu mamelim v'hem mamelim. That whole thing is what comes from here. So Belazar became very ill. Rabbi Eliezer became very ill. And his students asked, they went to visit him, and they said, how can we be Zocha Olam Haba? So he said, you have to be careful with the honor of others. You have to make sure that your children don't only learn Torah, but they also learn Gemara. You have to put them in the care of Talmidei Chachamim. And when you daven, Dalif Nei Miata Omed, you should know who you're standing before. And if you do all this, you're going to be Zocha Olam Haba. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was ill, and his Talmidim came to visit him. And when he saw him, when he saw them, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai started to cry, because he says, if I was going to a human king here today, gone tomorrow, and whose, you know, punishments aren't eternal, I would still be terrified and I'd still be crying. But now I'm going to Hashem, whose punishment and anger is eternal. He's eternal. If he puts me in jail, that's going to be forever. And there's no way I could bribe him. There's no way I could get out of it. And he said, on top of that, I don't even know if I'm going to Gehenna or Gan Eden. So how can I not cry? All the more so I should be crying. So Talmidim asked for a bracha from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and he said that, may you fear Shamayim just like you fear man. And he said, we should only fear Hashem that much as we fear man. And he says, if only you feared Hashem that much, because we know that when people are going to sin, they're really scared if somebody's going to see them. They're not scared that Hashem's going to see them. They hope that no one else sees them, no other human see them. So then when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was about to die, he asked his Talmidim to take out all the utensils from his house so that they wouldn't become Tamei. And he asked them to prepare a chair for Chizkiyahu, who was coming to escort Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to Gan Eden. So the Mishnah says, Rabbi Gamliel says that every day you should daven a full Shmon Esrei, and Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you could say Havinenu, an abridged version of Shmon Esrei. Rabbi Akiva says, if you know the full Shmon Esrei well, then you should say a full Shmon Esrei. If you don't know it well, then you could say Havinenu. Rabbi Elazar says that if you make your tefillah keva, then it's not considered a tefillah. If you make your tefillah like set and fixed, it's not considered a good tefillah. Rabbi Yoshua says if you're in a dangerous place, you should daven a tefillah katsara, a short tefillah. And we said that if you're riding on a donkey, then you should go down, have somebody hold the donkey, and you should say Shmon Esrei. But if there's no one there to hold it and you can't go down, you should turn your face towards Yerushalayim. But if you can't even do that, then you should concentrate your thoughts to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And similarly, if you're on a boat or you're in the stocks, you should concentrate your thoughts to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Gemara says, where do we know these 18 brachos for Shmon Esrei? How do we know that we should daven 18 brachos? So Rav Hillel Bereid Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmini says that it comes from the 18 times that we say Hashem's name in Havu LaHashem B'nei Eli. Rav Yosef says it comes from Elim. Rav Yosef says that it comes from the 18 times we say Hashem's name in Shema. Rav Yishuv Ben Levi says that it's corresponding to the 18 vertebrae in the spine. Rav Yishuv Ben Levi says that when you want to bow in Shmona Esrei, all the vertebrae in your back have to protrude. Ula says that when you bow and you bend over, you have these two folds of flesh in front of you that form, and you have to be able to fit the size of an Iser coin between those two folds of flesh that form in front of you. Rav Chanina says that no, just bowing your head is enough of a bow. And Rava says, but this is only if it's too hard for you to fully bow and you have to make it look like you're really trying to bow. So what do you mean there are 18 brachos? There are 19 brachos. So Rav Levi says, no, Vilamal Shinim was later instituted in Yavna against the heretics. And so what does this correspond to, this 19th bracha? So according to Rav Hillel Bereder Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, who says it's from the names of Hashem and Havula Hashem Bnei Elim, so he said it comes from Kel HaKavod Hirim Rabim. So Rav Yosef, who says that it's corresponding to Shema, then the 19th bracha is corresponding to the word Echad and Shema. And Rav Shmuel Ben Levi, who says it's all about the vertebrae, is about the small vertebrae in your spine. Shkaya.